This is the podcast from Connection Community Church for this Sunday, September 11th, 2011. Tough questions. Why does God allow evil?
Well, there are a lot of really tough questions out there. Now, we're not talking questions like, what's the square root of 7? Or what's the first person plural possessive pronoun in English, French, and Italian? Or what's the population of Des Moines, Iowa? Or what is, George Washington's mother's maiden name? We're not talking about like game show questions or questions on quizzes in a history or math or English class. We're talking questions there's no easy answer to, questions that cause great debate and even greater disagreement, questions that cause us to search our soul, our mind, all the way down to our guts. Tough questions. That's our focus for today and the next 3 weeks.
Good morning, Connection Church. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you pray with us, please? Oh, God, thank you for drawing us together this morning, for preparing us through song, for opening our hearts, Lord. Open us up even more to receive the message that you have intended for each one of us, and help us leave changed and transformed. We pray this in your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Tough questions. Today we're going to tackle one of the toughest questions that there is, one that's perplexed people for centuries, one that people have debated since almost the beginning of time. Here it is. How can an all-loving, all-good, all-powerful, and perfect God allow pain, suffering, and evil? It's a question often used by people who claim to not believe in God as their reason for not believing in God. It's interesting to note, though, if you think about it, if they don't really believe in an all-loving and perfect God, where do they get the idea that pain, suffering, and evil aren't the norm?
You know, it's a really big question, and so we're going to whittle things down a little bit this morning. Our focus today, in the light of the events of what we're experiencing with 9/11, is why does God allow evil?
Why does God allow evil? Let's start with that whole word, evil. Now, we're not just talking bad here, but evil. And there's a difference, we think. Evil takes badness to a low, 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 low level. Evil involves wickedness. The dictionary tells us that when something is evil, it is the cause or source of suffering, injury, destruction. Something that is evil is bad, but something that is bad isn't always necessarily evil.
So why does God allow evil? Again, you know, we're focused on 9/11, but evil was around long before that. Why did God allow the Holocaust? Why did God allow Hitler's Germany, who was responsible for the genocide of two-thirds of the European Jewish population? 6 million Jews, not to mention the death of millions of people from other people groups, other targeted groups.
And we don't have to go all the way back to World War II for this type of evil. 1994, the Rwanda genocide saw the mass murder of 800,000 people in that country.
And what about the evil of slavery? From the 16th to the 19th centuries, an estimated 12 million Africans were shipped as slaves to the Americas. Of these, an estimated 645,000 were brought to what is now the United States. And millions were shipped to other areas of the world. Why would God allow this? God's own people. If we go back in time, the Jews, they wondered the same thing as they were enslaved for over 400 years under the Pharaoh in Egypt. The Bible tells us that over 600,000 men were enslaved in addition to women and children.
And then there's the Emperor Nero, who lived in the mid-first century, not long after the death of Christ. He brings evil to a low level that's almost unimaginable. Among other atrocities he visited upon the Christ followers of his day, he would use them as human torches in his garden. How could God allow such evil to be visited upon those who claimed Jesus as their Lord and Savior?
And so we wonder, and we have questions. Questions like, where does evil come from in the first place? God created all things. Did God create evil? How could an all-loving, an all-good, and all-powerful God, how did all this happen? How does evil come from an all-good God? Well, perhaps evil is not a separate entity from good, but rather evil is the absence of good. Evil is the absence of good. Good, then, is where God is. And evil would be where God is not. Back in Genesis chapter 3, God placed the tree of knowledge in the center of the garden, right there, right in the middle. And he told Adam and Eve to not take of the fruit. Before they ate from the tree, they were connected to an all-good God. After they ate from the tree, they became disconnected. Evil came in. Evil has no meaning apart from good, apart from God. Actually, that is the meaning of evil. The absence of good, the absence of God.
And so what brought evil into the world was choice. Choice, free will is what we call it in the church, free will. God placed, this is such a great story, God placed that tree right in the middle of the garden. He didn't put an electric fence around it. He didn't tie their hands so they couldn't pick it. He didn't give them lockjaw so they couldn't take a bite out of it. You know, it was right in the middle, easy to pick from. It was tempting. I think most of us have had a tree in the middle of our garden at one point or another, haven't we? Yeah, I see a lot. Amen to that, brothers and sisters. Yeah, God gave them choice, and they chose poorly.
So God, why did God give them choice? Why? Didn't God know what they would choose? After all, God created them. Didn't God know what they were going to do? Their choice certainly did not surprise God. And yet, God gave them choice. God gave them the ability to choose.
And so we wonder why. And, well, maybe it's like this. We have some parents here. Put your hand up if you're a parent. Okay. Just keep those up. Put your hand up if you have a parent. Oh, good. So we've got everybody covered here this morning. That's good. Okay. So as a parent, you know, your kids have a choice. And as a child, you had a choice. We're your parent. We have a choice to love or not to love our parents. Amen? Right. And as parents, don't we hope our kids will choose to love us most days? Unless that involves a lot of cash. Yeah. But most days we choose, yeah, it would be a great choice. But if they didn't have any choice, oh, that's their own, it would be different, wouldn't it? We want them of their own free will, of their own volition, to choose to love us, right? Sure we do. And I think that's the way God set it up. God wants us to love God because we choose to. Not because we have to, not because we have no other choice. That's not love at all. Is it? Because love is a choice. And so if you have no choice, that's not really love. God doesn't force us to choose God, nor does God force others to choose God.
The challenge is that there is a price that is paid when God isn't chosen. There's a price that is paid because to not choose God is to choose evil. Evil, the absence of God. There is a price that's paid, and that price often doesn't just involve the chooser, the one who makes that decision, but it involves innocent people. The result is pain and suffering for others. You know, thus the Hebrew slaves, the Christian martyrs, the victims of the African slave trade, the Jews of the Holocaust, the murdered of Rwanda, and those who were hurt and killed as a result of 9/11. People who end up with pain and suffering because of others who don't choose God. Innocent people paying the price of those who choose poorly.
And so then we say, you know, wouldn't it be great if God gave us choice but then took away the evil when it happens? Or, well, wouldn't it be great if God would just protect us from the evil? I'm sure we've all wondered that at one point or another. God, where were you when I needed you, when that evil was around me? I'm sure we've all asked that, and it's a good question. And then it takes us to this. Why doesn't God just rid us of the pharaohs and the Neros and the slave traders and the Hitlers and those that lead others to commit genocide and the Osama bin Ladens of the world? Why doesn't God get rid of, and in doing so, then protect us from all that evil in the world? Why didn't just get rid of all those evil people? And then the challenge for us is this. Where does God draw the line? How bad, how evil do we want God to... In other words, where does the line get drawn between evil and just bad and a little bad? And where's the line?
The challenge then becomes for each one of us to take a look at ourselves, to take a look deep inside. Because if we get real, if we take a look deep inside, we are fallen. There is a piece of us where we take that apple. You know, we all have that place where we go, and none of us are perfect. All of us are sinners saved by the blood of Christ, but all of us are sinners. All of us have the capacity to hurt someone, and each one of us in this room have hurt at least one person, if not many, in our lives. We remember Romans 3:23. Say it with me. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if God were to fully protect each of us by getting rid of all of those bad people, evil people who inflict pain and suffering, would there be anybody left?
It'd be a pretty empty world, wouldn't it? And so then, with all this said, we have a choice of one of three kind of worlds. One is a world in which nobody remains because God got rid of all the evil. That doesn't sound like such a good idea, I don't think. How about y'all? Second world, a world in which free will does not exist, and therefore love does not exist, because love is a choice, and we only have choice if we have free will. So that's out the door. That's the second world. I don't think we like that one either, do we? Because most of us, I think, like love. So then we're left with the third choice, and that's the one we got. Flaws and all. Full of pain and suffering. A world in which we always have the possibility of another 9/11. a world that at times seems out of control, a world in which the innocent at times pay the price for the bad choices of others, causing pain and suffering, because we have that choice. And even though some choose not to follow God, even though some choose the absence of God, some choose evil, we know that we always in that world have the option of choosing God. Amen? There's always that option in that third world that we just described. In fact, at the end of the day, when everything is said and done, we come to the realization that that's really the only choice we really have, isn't it? To choose God or not. That's our choice.
This idea of the innocent paying a price for poor choice, that's been done for each one of us. Jesus, innocent, perfect, without sin, paid for ours. Jesus paid the ultimate price for the poor choices of others, for your poor choices, for my poor choices, so that we might be forgiven, so that we might have life and have it abundant. Jesus, innocent, paid the price.
And so here's a real challenge for us. We like to be in control. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Or at least we like to think we're in control. And then something like 9/11 comes along. And part of the challenge of that is it reminds us that in reality, we're not in control, are we? No matter how much we want to be. And you know, we can take all the security measures in the world. And don't get me wrong, when I'm getting on that plane, before I get on, I celebrate every measure I have to go through to make sure that that plane is as safe as possible. And every measure you have to go through, even if it makes you have to get there an hour or two ahead of time, I celebrate that to make it as safe as possible on that flight for all of us. But that being said, even with all those measures taken and that will be taken, our only true safety, our only true peace, our only true comfort only comes from God. If evil is the absence of God, then it is God and God alone that we can turn to when we're facing evil.
And it is God and God alone who can take what is evil, who can take what is evil and bring good out of it. Romans 8:28. And we know that in, say the rest, all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
In all things. You know, we have a saying around here, God, it comes out of this, God never wastes a hurt. Maybe you've heard it. If not, that's a good thing to carry in your pocket. God never wastes a hurt. It means that out of tragedy, out of pain, out of disaster, God can and God does bring good. And that's not to say that God allows evil for that reason. We don't know enough to say yay or nay on that one. That's a discussion for a whole nother day and much more than we'd cover in a half an hour. But we do know that out of 9/11, out of that tragedy, out of that pain, out of that suffering, some absolutely incredible God stories have come.
We have one right here at Connection Church. There's a guy. His name is Sujo John. Sujo John was working on the 81st floor of the tower that day. Sujo, though, let me backtrack. He was on his way to work. In fact, I went to his website and I took this out. I left home early for work that morning. He lived in New Jersey. The morning commute was normal. It was a beautiful, clear day on the East Coast. I made my way to the office. He was on the 81st floor, and I began to feel a deep sense of emptiness in my life. I knew that there was a call of God in my life, but I was not doing anything about it. I decided to write an email to a friend at my church, telling him how I felt and that I was looking for a purpose in life. I let go of that email at 8:05 from my office. Little did I know how the next few moments would change us forever. This goes on to share how Sujo made his way, along with so many others, out of that tower, and how just the name of Jesus was on his lips. He just kept saying, Jesus, Jesus. And God used him to help people, to talk to people about Jesus in that darkness as everything was coming down upon them. And he also writes how when he got outside, he was in 3 feet of soot. But he committed, as he said, I remember this, he said, if you get me out of here, Lord, I will serve you. So here's what happened. David Burke was the conference youth coordinator of this Peninsula Delaware conference that we are a part of. David Burke brought Sujo John to speak at Middletown High School in, Steve, when was it? 2002. So Sujo stood up and spoke to an auditorium full of youth, but we were also there. And Steve Faulkner struck up a conversation with Sujo John that began a relationship where Sujo went to India, his native country, to preach the gospel. He did a lot of other places, but this was his trip, and Steve went for the first time as an evangelist to share the gospel. Steve and Sujo, but Steve comes in contact with a guy named Pastor Koshy and his wife Joycey. There was an immediate love affair. Steve comes back home, tells all of us about Koshy Baby, cool name, Koshy Baby, this man of God who was a pastor in New Delhi, and his church overlooked the slums, hundreds of thousands of kids where he ministered, and we partnered based on the story that Steve shared with us to partner with Koshy and his church, sending money and support for the kids and for Koshy and his family.
And as a result, Carrie and I and many others from this congregation have been to Delhi with Koshy and with Steve in missional opportunities, preaching the gospel, doing medical camps, things of that nature. And we've supported Koshy and his wife, Joycey, and their ministers and their churches. We helped build a school there. This congregation put up $48,000 for some land for a school where 1,000 kids can come. And two things we basically do in connection with Koshy. We help supply milk, and we help support him so he can talk to people about Jesus. And, you know, those kids, you can tell a difference on their just in their faces. It's incredible what milk and Jesus can do. That's a great combination. And isn't it incredible that out of this tragedy of 9/11, these two churches, CCC, Connection Community Church, and he changed the name of his to be CCC, Carmel Community Church, on opposite sides of this planet, can be connected in that way, only through God. Amen? Amen.
None of us can say for certain why God allows evil. None of us knows even a smidgen of the mind of God. We may never know, or we may know someday when we meet the Lord. Some things, the Bible says, some things come clear. But here on this earth, as people who have accepted Christ into our hearts, and those of you who haven't, here's the news. Here's the good news. God cares for you, God loves you, and God will never leave you stranded. And now we have two choices. One choice, when bad things happen, when evil comes, when we have two choices in life. One is to turn away from God, or one is to turn toward God. Turn away or turn toward. Evil is the absence of God. That's what turning away brings. That's exactly what Satan would love us to do. That's what Satan tempts us to do. That's what Satan desires for our life, to turn from God. Or we can turn toward God, claiming the promises, claiming that God is in control, even when things don't make sense. Even when we just wish that God could erase all the evil of this world, our hope, our only hope, comes from God through Jesus Christ, His Son, who came to pierce the darkness and bring forth light.
And when we turn toward God, evil has absolutely no hold over us, does it? There's a song we share at nearly every funeral we do that brings that point out. And we share this psalm because it's a psalm that brings comfort and peace in the midst of hardship and tragedy and hurt and pain. It's a psalm that reminds us of who we are and whose we are and who we turn to when things get challenging, when things get tough, when things don't make sense. It's a psalm that reminds us that evil will not take us when God has us. Many of you are familiar with it. It's Psalm 23. Let's share that together right now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
So we have a choice to turn from God or to move toward God, to give our hearts to God, to ask the Lord to be the leader of our lives. Not sure where all of us are with that. But what I can say is if you're walking with God, you understand that the dark is never so dark again, and that there can be peace when everything else runs out of control. Those who are wondering what that relationship might be, we hope that you'll choose God. We hope that you'll say a simple prayer, "Oh Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me for those things, those ways that I turn from you. Change my heart, oh Lord." If you say that prayer, your life will be different. Maybe not this moment, but you will walk it out differently. We hope that you'll pray about that wherever you are, whether you claim Christ or whether you're still wondering, that you'll talk to God. You can do that from your seats. You can do that on the steps. Lori Brown, one of our pastors, is back there ready to pray with you to accept Jesus in your heart. Today's the day. Would you pray with us, please? Almighty God, we do struggle with so many tough questions, and we wonder, and at the same time, we know that we don't have a clue what you think, and as far as the world, what we do know, Lord, is that you love us unconditionally, and that you sent Jesus into this world to save us from ourselves. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives with Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for our podcast. For more information about Connection Community Church in Middletown, Delaware, please visit our website at www.connectioncc.org. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-2423. 7692. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the life that He offers.